Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the wonderful city of Alexandria, Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C. And guess what? The special counsel spoke up, finally. We actually heard his words. For those of you wondering what Robert Mueller sounds like, he actually spoke briefly for about 11 minutes. And if I had to sum up Mueller's 11 minutes in four words, what Mueller said was, and paraphrasing here, he said, quote, "Read my damned report." So, as we all know, Robert Mueller has sent out a 448-page report that many in Congress haven't taken the time to even read. And, in full disclosure, that's one of my homework assignments. I have read the summaries, which are about 12 pages of the Mueller report. I do want to read all 448 pages, and I think to be an educated American, I will. But fewer than 2% of Americans have read the report. But the heart of what he had to say, and this, I think, is extraordinary, and we'll talk about the law regarding this as the show progresses today, is that the executive branch of government has no power whatsoever to police a renegade president. The president can take bribes, commit treason, can do what Donald Trump has bragged that he could do, go down Fifth Avenue and shoot people in the face. And the police would have, I don't know whether they could even arrest him. I mean, I guess Congress would have to move really quickly if he starts shooting people. Maybe? I'm not so sure. Mueller seems to say that no one can be indicted. No president of the United States, no matter how bad the crime, can ever be indicted if they're a sitting president. Now, everyone concedes, and Mueller makes very clear, that once a president leaves office, they are fully responsible for all the actions taken while in office. In fact, the Constitution is very clear on this. They say that Congress can impeach the president, remove him from office, and then once that has happened, all of the conduct of the president is absolutely subject to the full weight of the criminal law. So I guess if the president of the United States starts shooting a bunch of people, we've got to get the House of Representatives to very quickly impeach him, the Senate to very quickly remove him from office, and then they can arrest him. That seems to be Mueller's conclusion. I admit I don't share Robert Mueller's conclusion. It's all based on a very controversial legal memo that dates back to Richard Nixon's lawyers in 1973. Didn't seem to save Richard Nixon either. The memo says that you can't prosecute a sitting president. And for those of you who know the Watergate affair, you know that Richard Nixon was an unindicted co-conspirator to the cover-up of the attempt to plant a bug in the Watergate Hotel. Of course, let's all remember, we don't know for sure that Nixon ordered the planting of that bug. He may have, he may not have. All that was proved is that he tried to cover it up. But what we do know is that that bug was an attempt to get illegal data, illegal wiretapping of the opponent Democratic Party. Never succeeded because the burglary was foiled before the bug was even planted. And Nixon, without that information, went on to win a landslide re-election in 1972, won 49 out of 50 states, and only losing Massachusetts and the District of Columbia. And even though he never actually stole his opposition data illegally, and even though he never was proven to have ordered the burglary, he was proved to have tried to cover it up, to try to obstruct justice, as it were. And for that, he was brought up on articles of impeachment. And the House Judiciary Committee granted the articles of impeachment. And Nixon so believed and was told by so many people that the House of Representatives would vote to impeach him. The Senate would vote to convict him. Republicans and Democrats standing together, getting the two-thirds vote necessary, that he resigned from office, lest that happen. A of course, what Richard Nixon was accused of stands as a pale comparison to what Donald Trump is accused of. Right? In Donald Trump's case, it wasn't an attempted bug, it was a successful bug. In, like Richard Nixon, there's no evidence that Donald Trump ordered the bug, but there is, and the bug, of course, was the hacking, the 2016 equivalent of 1972, the hacking of the Democrats' computers to steal data to help them in the election. And there's no evidence that Trump ordered the Russians to do this, just like there was no evidence that Nixon ordered his burglars to do it. Except that we know that Donald Trump openly and directly called upon Russia to commit espionage, to break U.S. law, and think about how terrible espionage is. I mean, people have been executed. American citizens have been executed, gotten the death penalty for espionage against their country. Russian spies have been executed, and other spies, for treason, for espionage. So Donald Trump has ordered the Russians to commit an act that is guilty by punishment for death in America. And they tried to do exactly that. They tried to do exactly that. Now, first they did it without him asking them to, but then he found out about it, and the Mueller report's very clear that Donald Trump and his minions, his campaign, actively sought to get the information illegally obtained. And by the way, that's illegal too. I don't know if you know that. You can't traffic in known stolen property. Even if you don't steal the property yourself, if you know property is stolen, you can't traffic in it. It's called money laundering or conspiracy after the fact. It's a crime that you can go to jail for. Instead, that's exactly what his campaign did, trafficked in the stolen information. And we also know that when Donald Trump openly requested to the Russians, they said, Russia, if you're listening, find me Hillary Clinton's emails, which could only be gotten by espionage. There's no legal way for a foreign enemy to get our private email servers other than espionage. So Russia, if you're listening, commit espionage, violate U.S. federal law, do so in order to help my political campaign. And Mueller's report says within 5 hours of Donald Trump's request, Russia did exactly that. They never got Hillary's emails, because apparently the private server that everyone was complaining about as being insecure was far more secure than the other data that Russia got. But I digress. The point is that Richard Nixon never got data on his opponent. Donald Trump did. Richard Nixon didn't use data on his opponent to win the election. Donald Trump did. Indeed, I don't know any serious political scholar who doesn't think that but for Russians' help, Donald Trump would have lost. History would have been different. I mean, Russia installed Trump as president. The 77,000 people that made a difference in that election are 1/3,000th of the total electorate. If you don't think the WikiLeaks data convinced 1 in 3,000 Americans to change their mind about the presidency, I don't think you really understand how public decisions are made. Remember, it doesn't require 1 in 100, doesn't require 1%, doesn't even require 0.1%. In any case, unlike Nixon, Trump's folks used the data. And unlike Nixon, where Americans tried to do the bugging, in this case, it was our foreign enemy that did the bugging and was successful. And we know from the Mueller report that Donald Trump took ample steps to cover it up, including suborning perjury, which is a fancy name of saying we told people to lie under oath. We also have instances of Donald Trump dangling pardons. If you lie for me, I will pardon you. This, by the way, this threat of pardoning someone involved in a crime with the President of the United States was taken so seriously that some of the founders insisted it not be included in the United States Constitution. Famously, Virginia's George Mason refused to sign on to the Constitution and opposed it and actively campaigned against it precisely because he was afraid of the presidential pardon power being misused. He said, if the president could pardon his co-conspirators in a crime, what could prevent the president from going on a crime spree? To which Hamilton and Madison joined together against George Mason and said, well, obviously what would prevent him is congressional impeachment. That is the way to police a renegade president. If he starts using the pardon power, run amok, impeach him. In fact, it specifically says in the Constitution, you can't do pardons in cases of impeachment. Can't do them. So the president can't pardon himself. And Hamilton and Madison said, don't worry, George Mason, your fears are overblown. And in hindsight, I'm not so sure they were, because Congress can always simply impeach and remove the president of the United States. Well, what Robert Mueller said yesterday is in effect the same thing. He said, and I don't agree with him on this, we'll get to this. He said, the executive branch of government, the federal government, not a single federal prosecutor in the land. Frankly, I wonder whether a state prosecutor in the land could do this to a sitting president. But no one can ever hold the president under criminal law, a sitting president. He is above the law as long as he is president. The only thing anyone can ever do to stop a sitting president from abusing power, acting corruptly, breaking the law, murdering people in the street, is impeach and remove him from office. That's all Congress, that's all anyone can do to stop him. And so Mueller said, I lay it in Congress's feet. Let's just briefly play. This is clip number two for Mark Grimaldi, my producer up there. Let's just briefly play how Mueller puts it when he lays it in Congress's feet.
And second, the opinion says that the Constitution requires a process other than the criminal justice system to formally accuse a sitting president of wrongdoing.
The process requires something other than the criminal justice system. Every other one of the 330 million Americans can be prosecuted under criminal law, not the president. The president has one way to be indicted, and that's to be impeached. A sitting president has one way to be indicted, impeached by the House of Representatives, removed by the Senate on a two-thirds vote. And then all the criminal indictments can come forward. Now, to be clear, once a president no longer serves his four-year or eight-year term, the president can still be indicted. And whether or not President Trump is impeached or removed from office, I sincerely hope and expect him to be indicted. Lock him up. And I hope he's locked up for a very long time. Nothing could help this country more than to see a criminal like Donald Trump being locked up for a long time, based not just on obstruction of justice, but based on tax evasion, fraud, violation of treason, perhaps. There's a lot of things. Bribery. So I want to see him locked up after his term. But what Mueller's saying is you can't do anything until you remove him from office or until he leaves office at the end of a term. Now, I don't know that that's true. It is based on this 1973 Office of Legal Counsel opinion. But is that opinion the right rendering of the law? Interestingly, courts have never, ever considered it. And I would argue that Supreme Court precedent goes in the other direction. And I'll make that argument for you, that legal argument, when we get back right after this. Call in if you want to, 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
To the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. I want to go over some of the law here. The law matters, and I think it's been misunderstood. And I also want to talk, if we don't have time this segment, we'll do the next segment, about the difference between the way Robert Mueller and James Comey looked at very similar questions. Let's start with the Office of Legal Counsel opinion in 1973. It says the president, a sitting president, can't be indicted. It would ruin the work of the president. He's got too much on his hands. We can't haul him up before in prison. We can't put him on trial. And we certainly can't jail him. How do you jail a sitting president? I mean, the federal police that would jail him are under his control. I get where the opinion is going. I think it goes too far. After all, why can't you indict a sitting president? You can indict him and postpone the trial until after the man's no longer president, or the woman. I don't know that a woman president would commit all these crimes, but hypothetically. You could even impanel a president and give that president a trial and for a jury and then wait on the imprisonment till later on. That's probably pushing it. But why not indict him? Mueller goes even further away from this. Mueller says not only can't we put a president in prison, not only can't we try a president, not only can't we even indict a president, Mueller says. We can't even accuse him of a crime. We can't even do the pre-indictment, put it all together, and say the president committed a crime. Why not? Mueller admits you could do an investigation. In fact, he says the purpose of an investigation is to do things while the evidence is still alive and present, and that makes sense. You don't want old evidence. You don't want to wait 4 or 8 years after a president's no longer in office to gather the evidence. But he can't draw any conclusions, because if he drew conclusions, it would be unfair to the president, because the president can't have a trial to convict, or I won't use the word exonerate, or find the president not guilty. And therefore, it's unfair to even make an allegation against the president. Okay, that's his opinion of the OLC opinion, the Justice Department opinion. He says, I'm a Justice Department employee. I have to follow their opinion. And sorry, if you want to do something Congress, you just got to impeach or remove the president. It's on you. Now, a court has never ruled on whether that OLC opinion is a good one or not. But I know of two cases involving the last two impeachments of presidents, where the United States Supreme Court ruled 9-0 in the other direction. First case is United States v. Nixon, where Nixon said, I don't have to obey congressional subpoena. I don't have to turn over evidence of my crimes. You can't indict a sitting president. Therefore, evidence of my crimes is irrelevant. Therefore, I'm not going to turn anything over to you, including these tapes that claim I covered up. I covered up a crime. United States Supreme Court voted 9-0, including Nixon appointees, that Richard Nixon had to turn over the tapes. And indeed, after those tapes were turned over, he resigned from office. The House Judiciary Committee found articles of impeachment against him. He resigned from office. It all happened in like a month, very quickly. That's not the only opinion, though, that interests me. Another opinion interests me, and that's the opinion of Clinton v. Jones. Remember that one? This one's really important. Are we saying that a civil lawsuit has more power than a criminal indictment? I'll explain when we come back. 888-48-MARK if you want to call in. 888-48-6275. Right back after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. It's important that we understand the law here. It's important that we understand exactly what Mueller's dealing with. As I said, Mueller took the 1973 legal opinion, never tried by a court, and took it even further than Nixon's lawyers had taken it. Not only can the president not be indicted, but you can't even accuse him of a crime. Now, that goes further than the prosecutor of Nixon's day. That prosecutor was Leon Jaworski, and he set out a famous roadmap whereby the president was an unindicted co-conspirator. In other words, yeah, the president committed a crime. We're not indicting him, wink, wink, but we are telling you he committed a crime so that you can prosecute everyone else and can proceed to impeachment. Mueller steps further back. He's more protective of the presidential prerogative than Richard Nixon's lawyers were. But why? Remember, no court has reviewed this. I talked about the case of U.S. v. Nixon. I want to talk about a more recent case. This case occurred in the 1990s. It's called Clinton v. Jones. Remember? Paula Jones accuses Bill Clinton in a civil lawsuit of sexually harassing her. She files a federal lawsuit against the President of the United States and says, I think you did it. The court says, Clinton's lawyers say, you know what? A civil lawsuit is the kind of thing that can really harass the President of the United States. He's busy running the country. You can have your lawsuit, Paula Jones, but you have to wait until Bill Clinton's no longer president. You have to toll it. That's a legal term, means put it aside. And we will get to the lawsuit when Clinton's no longer president. And that question of whether you could put it off goes all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, which finds 9-0, including justices that Clinton had appointed, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Justice Stephen Breyer. The court says, nope, civil lawsuit has to go forward. I want you to think about that. Robert Mueller is saying, under current precedent, that if the President of the United States were to go out with a machine gun and gun down civilians, that we couldn't indict him for a crime until he's been impeached or removed from office. But if somebody says that, I don't know, he hit them in a car accident, right? Run-of-the-mill, hit a pedestrian, ran a red light, rear-ended somebody. That lawsuit can go forward. That's a civil lawsuit. That it's more important to vindicate justice when the President of the United States has a fender bender than when the President of the United States is engaged in treason, corruption, bribery, high crimes and misdemeanors. And indeed, if you follow to its logical conclusion, mass murder. Well, that doesn't seem to make any sense to me. And remember, the United States Supreme Court found this 9-0. It seems to me that if you can haul a president into court arguing breach of contract or a fender bender or sexual harassment for that matter, why can't you do it when the President of the United States is working with a foreign enemy to rig American elections, including his possible re-election? The latter crime, indeed all crimes, seem more serious to me than a civil matter. In fact, isn't that what a crime is? A more serious allegation than a civil matter? A civil matter is between two people over money. A crime is something you can be locked up for. So, look, notwithstanding this legal opinion, the Supreme Court has ruled twice, 9-0. They ruled once against Nixon, you cannot withhold evidence of a crime from Congress. You can't do it. Very clear opinion, despite the fact that Donald Trump is specifically right now refusing to obey congressional subpoenas into his criminal activity. Clear violation of U.S. v. Nixon. And you can't even stop a civil suit. Now, I actually don't agree with the Supreme Court opinion in Clinton v. Jones. I think it makes sense because anyone can file a frivolous civil suit. I think it kind of makes sense maybe to make those wait till after the president is no longer in office. It's not a crime. And if it's not a crime, maybe you should have to wait. But clearly, if a civil suit can be proceeded against a president, why can't a criminal indictment be served? These are the questions that I would ask Robert Mueller if he were to testify before me. Now, Mueller has said he doesn't want to testify. He said, everything I have to say is in my report. And I understand why he doesn't want to give any more factual detail to this 448-page report full of factual detail. And I understand why he doesn't want to go into the redacted matter, which is, you know, the stuff that was blocked out, because that's ongoing criminal matters. But the underlying law, he should be able to talk about that. I wish I was on the House Judiciary Committee. I would like to ask Robert Mueller that question in public. If a president can be sued for a fender bender, why can't he be indicted for a serious crime? And number two, if the president were to go on a murder spree, is it your contention that no one could stop him until the House of Representatives met and voted to impeach him and he was tried before the Senate and convicted? Is there some public safety exception? Maybe. But it ain't in the law. It's all kind of made up as we go along. When we come back, I want to talk about the difference between Robert Mueller and James Comey, and how James Comey attacked Hillary Clinton in a far more severe way than Robert Mueller is even considering with Donald Trump. I'll be right back right after this.
Never confuse Mark Levin with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levin. Giving you kind of the legal background behind what Robert Mueller is saying. So he's saying again, I can't do anything about the president. I can investigate him, but I can't charge him with anything. They say I can't. And I can't even tell you whether he's committed a crime because I can't charge him and because he can't be tried. It would be unfair to accuse him of a crime, even if he's committed a crime. And I want to make clear, I'm not saying he didn't do a crime. I'm not saying he's exonerated. But I can't do anything because of these constitutional provisions. It's up to Congress. It's up to Congress to act. Let me play for you his explanation. That's clip number one.
And as set forth in the report, after that investigation, if we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime. The introduction to the volume two of our report explains that decision. It explains that under long-standing department policy, a president cannot be charged with a federal crime while he is in office. That is unconstitutional. Even if the charge is kept under seal and hidden from public view, that too is prohibited. The special counsel's office is part of the Department of Justice, and by regulation, it was bound by that department policy. Charging the president with a crime was therefore not an option we could consider.
See, again, I disagree with Robert Mueller. First of all, this has never been tested in the courts. He says he has to do it because he is an employee of the Office of Legal Counsel. Maybe it is up to Congress to make very clear that the president can be charged with a crime. I hope they do. I know this president wouldn't support it, but hopefully a future president, an honest president, would say, yeah, I don't believe the president should be above the law. I think the president could be charged with a crime. I think Congress needs to clarify this. But it's unconstitutional? I think that's pushing it. I think that goes a little far. Again, the courts have ruled in the other direction, even with regard to such a minor thing as a civil suit. And by the way, what happened to Clinton v. Jones? You remember? The court found for Bill Clinton. Found, in fact, that Paula Jones had not proven, had not only not proven sexual harassment, but she couldn't prove it. It was dismissed. That's what I'm looking for. It was dismissed on summary judgment, which means that even if Paula Jones, if everything she says is true, still wouldn't allow for damages. So Paula Jones lost the case. Then she appealed it, and Bill Clinton paid her off rather than go for the appeal. But that was allowed to move forward. And again, I want you to think about whether it makes sense to say that a president who's involved in a fender bender can be sued, but a president who's busy shooting and murdering people in the streets can't be stopped. I guess if you want to stop the president from murdering people in the streets, you would get a civil lawsuit against him? I do want to talk about Jim Comey. I want to compare what Robert Mueller did with Jim Comey. Robert Mueller said, there's all this evidence that the president has committed crimes, and we do not exonerate him. We do not say he's not guilty. We can't say he's guilty because that's how I view the Constitution. But he may very well be guilty. Here's all your evidence. Go forward, Congress, impeach him if you want. And either way, we're going to get him after he's no longer in office. In fact, you have almost 1,000 prosecutors all saying that the things Donald Trump has been proven to have done would constitute obstruction of justice. That's a very serious felony. And I do hope we lock him up for a long time once he's no longer in office. But Mueller says, I'm not even going to come close to that. I'm not even going to come close to that because how can I accuse him of a crime, even if I believe he committed a crime, and I'm not going to say whether I did or I didn't, because that would be unfair to the president because we can't try him until after he's no longer in office. Now, that might be fair if it weren't a complete double standard from what Jim Comey did. Remember, Jim Comey went after candidate Hillary Clinton, and he said she is exonerated. He said there is no evidence to show she's committed a crime. There will be no indictments issuing. No reasonable prosecutor. He doesn't even say like it was a close decision. No reasonable prosecutor, not a single prosecutor in the entire nation, could ever reasonably indict Hillary Clinton based on the conduct that she did. She's completely exonerated, he said. But, Jim Comey said, I really don't like what she did. I don't like that she, along with thousands and thousands of government officials, has a private email address. I don't like it. And I don't like that deep down out of 30,000 emails, there were three, two of which apparently were the fact that Hillary Clinton was going to call a foreign dignitary that at one point were classified as lowest level, which isn't top secret or secret, it's confidential. Because you don't want the foreign official to learn that Hillary Clinton planned to call them before it happened. And then after it happened, they didn't declassify it. So it was very technically confidential. It really wasn't confidential. They just hadn't declassified it yet. I don't like that that was in deep down in an email. I don't like that, Hillary. And I don't like when people, says the tough Jim Comey prosecutor, I don't like when people drive a mile over the speed limit. If the speed limit says 35, you shouldn't be driving 36 or 37 or 38. It's bad. So he wagged his finger at Hillary. He said, no, you haven't committed a crime. No, you're completely exonerated. But bad, bad lady. You should be more careful. You and, well, pretty much all Trump government, because we know Ivanka has a private email server and Jared has a private email and Colin Powell had one and lots of governors do. And all of you should be more careful. So he wags his finger at her. Completely irrelevant to his job. And in doing so, actually causes a whole bunch of Americans to misunderstand and to chant, lock her up. Even though he specifically says she's committed no crime, but, you know, you should be careful. This, you should be careful? What's that? He's not a pundit. He's an employee of the Department of Justice. A prosecutor isn't supposed to say, you know, I don't really like what this person did. That's the role of an elected official, yeah. Not a prosecutor. A prosecutor should indict or not indict. And yet Jim Comey, after exonerating Hillary, went on to attack her. Mueller, conversely, says, Donald Trump has done all this criminal stuff, but I'm not going to classify it because you can't try him yet. Congress, it's up to you. Double standard? Yeah, I'd say so. Remember, at the same time they were looking at the parking tickets that was Hillary Clinton's occasional, very rare, in fact, infinitesimal use of email wrongly, with Donald Trump actively working to accept Russian help in the terms of espionage and treason in order to rig an American election, which President Obama knew about but did very little about because he didn't want to be seen as being biased in the election. Everyone knew he supported Hillary, and he'd be attacked if he told the truth, which is that Russia was actively working to make Trump president. That didn't get to the American people. Double standard? Damn right it's a double standard. We're constantly filled with this double standard. Right? When Mitch McConnell packs the courts, and he says, I don't allow Democratic presidents to appoint Supreme Court justices. Screw Article 2 of the Constitution. I don't believe in following the Constitution. I don't believe in advice and consent. I'm going to, for the first time in American history, refuse to allow the Senate to even consider a presidential nominee if it's a Democrat. If it's a Republican, yeah, we'll rubber stamp it, which he's just said this week. And the Democrats say, well, wait, if he packs the court, shouldn't we be able to take countermeasures to ensure that Democratic presidents who, let's face it, six of the last seven elections, the voters chose a Democratic president. Six of the last seven elections. From 1992 to 2016, the voters strongly preferred a Democratic president. Shouldn't that person get to choose the Supreme Court? And Republicans say, no, you're trying to pack the court. Well, double standard. The same Republicans that complained when President Obama used an executive order to protect immigrants who grew up here have said nothing about Donald Trump's executive orders doing wild, ridiculous things expressly against the will of Congress, whether it's building a wall or locking up kids in cages or refusing to obey Russian sanctions. The same Congress that said the president cannot be above the law, we've got to find out whether Bill Clinton cheated on his wife, are just fine with giving over top secret information to our greatest enemy and allowing our greatest enemy to rig our elections. You know, if this was a John Clancy novel before 2016, Russia works with presidential candidate to rig the election, gets him into place, and then president turns around the favor and gives Russia special favors. I don't think the reviews would be good. People wouldn't believe it was possible to have as unpatriotic a traitor as the current president of the United States. When Hillary said that Donald Trump was Putin's puppet, I think she understated it. There's a word beginning with B and rhyming with witch that I would describe who Donald Trump is with regard to Russia and Putin. So the next question is, do we impeach? That's the ultimate question. That's the question that Nancy Pelosi is facing. And I understand where she's going. What she's saying is, let's build the information, let's bring the case, let's convince the American people first, and then when it's there, maybe we can get, you know, the two-thirds Senate support to actually remove him from office. Don't rush the gun. I get it. And yet, if the president continues to stonewall the Congress in its investigations, how do we develop the record? Robert Mueller said, here, Congress, you're the only branch of government that can police a renegade president. I have no power to stop a president that's going on a mass murder spree. Only you can. And you have the right to investigate. Go forth and investigate, Mueller says to Congress. And Congress says, okay, here are my subpoenas. The president said, I'm not obeying congressional subpoenas. And we're going through the judicial system. And the courts are slowly but surely requiring presidential people to obey congressional subpoenas. But what if the court, packed by the president who was illegally elected illegitimately because of Russian rigging, and then controlled people on the Supreme Court, what if they say, we also think the president is above the law, screw the Constitution, we think the dictator should stay in place? And Kavanaugh and Gorsuch might just do that. I'm not sure about Chief Justice Roberts. I'm not sure if he's willing to throw away American democracy to protect Donald Trump. Well, if they say that, then the American people have to act. We've got to act. And one way we can act, one way Congress can act, is by imprisoning those officials that refuse to release documents. Inherent contempt. I talk about it all the time. But if it requires the formal beginning of impeachment in order to convince some court that Congress has oversight of the president, and it shouldn't be necessary, but if that's required, let's go forth. Let's impeach. If we don't, this isn't a question of Democrats versus Republicans. This isn't a question of Trump versus no Trump. This is a question of the future of the United States of America. If we don't police a president who says he is above the law, we have set a precedent for every president in American history for centuries to come. Congress needs to step up and begin impeachment. This is Mark Levine signing off.
This is Richard Painter. Welcome back to my weekly podcast on developments in Washington, D.C. and around the country. We've had, once again, another crazy week. A United States senator has no business advising someone to plead the Fifth in a congressional hearing or any other context. A United States senator is elected to represent the people